Looks like Joseph was pretty excited to give those announcements, wasn't he? Good morning, everybody. Mark and Chrissy Rayburn, excited to be with you here this morning. You know, I've been coming to this church for a long time, a lot of years, and this is the first Sunday I've noticed back there on the table that they're giving out earplugs. So I'm not quite, I'd like to think it's because of Keith railing on the drums, but I have a feeling it's because Mark and Chrissy are up here speaking. So if you need to get them, please go back and get your earplugs. They're by the tithing tables back there. So we're blessed last week to have Pastor Kevin share with us about relationships, and we thank the church, High Point, for allowing Christy and I the opportunity to speak on marriages here this morning. And so I'm especially glad the pastor asked us to speak, because Christy hasn't been treating me very good lately, and I thought this would be a good opportunity for her to recalibrate a little bit and get back on task. So, but if you know me, then you know that that's about, I've got some oceanfront property in Ellensburg that I'd like to sell you. So, but, no. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, I just want to tell you thanks. Thanks for an opportunity to share your word. Yes. Father God, I pray that you would just speak, be with us here this morning, speak to us, and give us your timely truths on what it means to have a loving relationship as a husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And so we just pray this morning in your name, amen. Amen. I know it's been a tough year. Some of you, it's been a tough week. Some of it's you're here today, this morning, and you think, man, my marriage isn't where it's supposed to be. And maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, man, my marriage is, I love my marriage, this is where it's at. Somehow this morning, whatever you take away from this, find something that you can grasp from God's word this morning and use in your relationship as husband and wife. May it be a catalyst for change somehow, some way, as you go forward from this day. Because Christy, myself, this church, God, we're concerned about marriage relationships. Marriage relationships in general, but specifically, you're our family. Marriage relationships here at High Point. And so how is your marriage this morning? Let's do a gut check. How is it? What is your relationship like right now? I'd like to use a little example. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I had the opportunity to play with a basketball team that traveled all over the world. And one of the trips in 1989, we had the opportunity, Christy and I had just been married, and so Christy went with me, and we went to Zimbabwe, Africa, and ended up playing there for about 6 weeks. And it was a team of, they take college players from all over the United States, a lot of exceptional players. I don't know how I made it on the team. And we'd go to all these different countries. And so we had a tough time getting to Zimbabwe. When we got stuck in Zambia for a while. We were 25 hours on the plane. And when we got off the plane, they told us that we had a game that night against the University of Zimbabwe. And they're quite a formidable force. And so just a few hours later, we ended up on the court with these guys. And it was very, fairly impressive, because they didn't have just one seven-footer. They had a number of seven-footers on their team. And so after warm-ups, our coach, B.B. Kendrick, he's from the University of Kentucky, he called us over and he said, hey, I need to talk to you guys. He goes, what happens here tonight will set a precedent for the next 6 weeks, the next 30 games that you play. And he goes, we have to do this right. He goes, I want you to believe in me as your coach. I've been here before. I know what's going on. And he goes, and we don't need any superstars. We need to play together as a team. And I have a plan, and if you guys will stick with this plan, we'll be successful. We're all in the huddle and we all agreed. We know the coach. We know the coach. We're going to do the plan and we're going to play together as a team. And we didn't just beat those guys, we trounced those guys. And I think that what he said there, what dictated, how it happens tonight dictates the course for the next 6 weeks. And this morning, Christine, I just want to share with you that if you stay with God's plan for marriage, if you believe in the coach, right? If you understand his plan, if you work together for oneness as a team, it will dictate the course of your marriage, not for the next 6 weeks, for the next 6 years, the next 60 years. If you're not married this morning, listen carefully, because this is an opportunity for you to glean some knowledge and some wisdom from God's word that is going to help you in your relationship to come. If you've never married, you know what? These same truths will apply to relationships with others here at High Point. So This morning we want to cover just a few things, and I'm just going to spell it out for you here. The first one is that God designed for oneness within marriage. Then we're going to talk about the hierarchy to achieve that oneness, and then we're going to talk about the commands that promote and strengthen that oneness.
So God designed us for oneness within marriage, and he gave us pictures of what that oneness would look like in Scripture. We're going to look at two of them. The first one is we're going to look at the oneness in the Trinity. We serve a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yet, they are one. And that's his design for marriage as well. It was fascinating as I was studying to find that a very familiar verse in Genesis 2, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Then again in Deuteronomy 6:4, in the Shema for Israel, when it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Those Hebrew words are the exact same word, eshod. And they don't mean the number one. They mean the coming together of multiple components into unity. So God is saying, in the same way that the Trinity relates in this oneness, I've designed marriage to relate into this oneness. And isn't it interesting that marriage really is the beginning of a journey of we? Two me's come together and become the we. And studies have shown that it takes the human psyche almost 10 years to naturally begin to think we instead of me. That's powerful insight. Because first of all, it tells me how sad it is that so many people give up before they actually begin to experience the oneness that God designed. It also reveals to me that, wow, I am at my core even more self-centered than I thought I was. Because it really takes time, it really takes effort for me to stop just automatically thinking me first. And I'm here to testify in all sincerity, the oneness that God designed is so worth it. It is so rich. It is, Mark and I have fought for our oneness. We have worked hard at it. We have prayed at it. And if you picture us never experiencing disconnect and separateness, then you don't even know who we are. So please don't picture that. Just picture a man and a woman who have made this a priority in their life, and they keep, no matter what life throws at them, no matter what their selfishness drives them to, they have committed to constantly come back and reconnect and find the we again.
We have a history of oneness that's it goes back quite a ways. I'm just going to throw some things out here. I can remember you holding Taylor, our daughter who's here, holding Taylor when she was a toddler in your lap as I was doing about 80 miles an hour down Meridian to get her to the ER.
Oh my gosh, that was horrible.
I remember the miracle of us watching our kids be born.
I wasn't really watching.
Oh, yeah, you weren't watching. You were doing something else. Yeah, that's true.
But it was just the two of
us
in the room.
Yeah, it was just, yeah. So. I think about the fact of us being able to build our own home and have all our friends and family join us and just dedicating our home and our property to God however he sees fit.
Yeah.
And how he has been true to his word time and time again. I can remember us jumping up and down in the Tacoma Dome as Colton's football team won a state championship, and that was...
I thought I was going to hyperventilate.
Yeah. Speaking of hyperventilating, I remember you learning how to scuba dive in the Bahamas.
Okay.
And
it takes a little.
I remember the instructor's mask somehow got peeled off, and I could hear you screaming 10 feet underwater.
But yeah. I did do it, Mr. Rayburn.
You did do it. So, and then in the middle of all this pandemic. Not having just one of our children, but two of our children decided, yeah, let's get married. And so Colton and Maria first, and then Taylor and Everett getting married. And so us hosting, planning, and all this stuff on our property and marrying two children this last year in the middle of all this. It's just, I could go on for forever. I could talk about those things, and a lot of those are great things, but I could also talk about the pain and the struggle that Christy and I have had. but also the healing and the victory that we share. I could talk about the sorrow and the doubt that we've had in our relationship, and also the fact of the joy and the assurance that we're going to make it. And it's a direct result of God's design for oneness in our marriage. And I think, it's just God's design for oneness.
And I get emotional, even just taking a moment to honestly think about our history, nobody else's, but the two of us. And as a mother, that is what I pray for our kids. I want them to hang in there and fight for what God designed. And I can tell you in all sincerity, as your sister in Christ, and I know Mark feels the same way, this is what we long for you within our family, is to experience this oneness. God designed the oneness, and he tells us in Ecclesiastes that we are stronger together. And that's a motto we really want you to walk out of here with today. To just constantly remind yourself, we is greater than me, and we is so much stronger than me. And so no matter what's going on, we are always going to be stronger together. So how are you guys doing right now at the oneness in your relationship? And I take it even a step further. If somebody else from the outside was to look at the two of you, do they still see the two of you as just individual people kind of living your own lives? Or would people, when they think of you, do they think of you as one couple?
The second picture of oneness is of the bridegroom and the bride from Scripture. Ephesians 5:31-32 says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of Christ and of the church."
So here's this picture of Jesus, the bridegroom, and his church, the bride. And the fact that we are a picture of that to everybody in our world. And as I started envisioning that, I thought, okay, so this is like a photo album, which right there dates me. So some of you can think your social feed. But I'm going to think photo album. And the photo album is called Jesus and His Bride, the Church. And every day, all day long, the way I talk to Mark, the way he listens to me, the way we solve a problem, every aspect of our relationship is another snapshot going in the photo album. And this photo album is sitting out on the coffee table in our house. And it's telling everybody, hey, if you just want to get a glimpse of how Jesus and his church relate to one another, look through the photo album. That's pretty sobering to me. Because, yes, there are days I'd be fine with the photo album, and I'd say, yeah, come look through the photo album. But there are days I want this in the farthest, darkest closet in our house. I would say, oh my gosh, do not look at the way we're treating each other as what God meant between Jesus and his church. But the reality is, we don't get to choose when it's on the coffee table and when it's in the closet. It is always on display to our kids, to our grandkids, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our extended family. This is what Jesus and the church look like. God's called us to a high calling, and he tells us to walk in a manner that's worthy of that. So what does your photo album look like right now?
So God designed us for oneness, but there's a hierarchy to that oneness. And first of all, God has to be number one for each and for both of us. For Christy, God has to be number one, and for me, God has to be number one. I can tell you, in certain times of our marriage, early on in our marriage, God was not number one. And trying to build that intimate relationship with God, we realize that it's so incredibly important, that it's not just a one and done, that it's a continual process. It doesn't come easy, that it has to be intentional. To get to know God is not just a head belief. It's a heart belief. It's a belief in the fact of that he created me. He created me. He knows me from my innermost beings. And the fact that then once he created me, that he was willing to save me by his death on the cross, are you kidding me? And then to rise again so that I could have an eternity with him, I want to know that God. And so I have to spend time with him. It's not just knowing him. It's learning from him, from his word, from his people. Today is the day I believe you get to sign up for small groups. Small groups is a huge part of this church. It's a huge part of our lives. I can tell you, we look so much forward to small groups and getting together and just discussing life through God's word with other people in this church. It is fantastic. But we learn more and more about God as we connect with others. It's making it a priority of more of God and less of Mark. And Kevin challenged us a couple years ago, that 10 and 10 model. You guys remember that? 10 minutes reading scripture and 10 minutes in prayer. That's only 20 minutes. 20 minutes a day of spending some priority time. A lot of us in this room spend 20 minutes sitting at a coffee stand waiting to pull up to get our coffee. If we could spend 10 minutes in God's word and 10 minutes in actual prayer to him, that tells God we are making him a priority. We will start to know him and learn from him. And then creating history with God alone. The fact of baptizing your kids. I got to baptize my three kids in the pond in our backyard. I'm telling you, it was one of the best memories of my life. But that's a shared history that I thank God for all the time. Maybe your kids' dedication. Maybe it's serving the kingdom through church or through missions. A lot of you have done that through High Point here. It's trusting in new ways that God is going to lead your heart, that if your marriage is going to be successful, that you have to have a successful marriage with the one who knows about it the most, and that's God himself. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, because he's the foundation for that love. He's the author and giver of that love. He's the model for love. Christine and I have had the opportunity to marry a lot of different couples, and when we do the premarital counseling, we tell them, don't model your marriage after somebody else. Make yours the model. Like Christy's talking about the snapshots, right? Look in there, and you want other people to look at your marriage and say, man, I want those certain aspects of their marriage in our marriage. You want friends of marriage in your life, and it's only because of that foundation that we get from God, that we can attain to those type of things. And if we don't have that right relationship with God, how can I have a right relationship with others? How can I have a right relationship with Christy? Christy knows when I haven't done the 10 and 10, or if I haven't spent any time with God, because chances are I'm not treating her very right. I'm not treating her very well. And if I'm not pursuing God, chances are I'm not pursuing Christy, because they go hand in hand. No man can live a double life and not get burned. If I'm not loving God, chances are I'm not loving my wife the way that I should. So the question is your relationship with God at the same place today that it was a year ago? Are we still, can you look at and say, well, these are the markers that I can use to measure how well I'm doing in getting to know God deeper and stronger and more? Is your relationship between you and God growing the most in your life? Because hands down, it is the most critical component to a marriage relationship.
So that's number one, building that intimacy with him. And obviously, secondly comes building intimacy with your spouse. And so many people think, we're married, we live together, we sleep together, we have children together. Of course we have intimacy. No. Intimacy does not just come naturally. And intimacy is not instant. Intimacy is intentional. And in marriage, there are three relational intimacies. There's physical intimacy, there's emotional intimacy, and there is spiritual intimacy. And the stronger all three are and working together is the stronger we're going to be and the closer we're going to feel to one another. So let me ask you, how are you guys doing recently at honestly knowing and learning from each other in all three of these areas? Physically, do you know right now in this season what pleases your spouse and doesn't please your spouse? It's interesting how we can engage in physical intimacy and yet not have conversations about physical intimacy. Emotionally, could you say right now what your spouse needs in order to truly feel safe? Safe to say the hard stuff, safe to even maybe become more vulnerable with you. Spiritually, Right now, if we asked you, could you tell me what your spouse is struggling with in their relationship with God? Could you tell me what they are begging God for? Could you tell me what they're excited about that God has been teaching them? And then what about priority? Like Mark said, our church hands you, we hand you an opportunity to make spiritual intimacy a priority in our small groups. Getting to share coming around God's word together as a husband and wife. Emotionally, when's the last time you guys actually made a date to just talk about you? Not about the kids, not about schedules. But you literally purpose to set time aside for just the two of you. And physically, when's the last time you put effort into physical intimacy? Wooing your spouse, creativity, romance. When we create history and we build our memories together, God intended them to be physical, emotional, spiritual, physical, emotional, spiritual. And if we were to ask you guys right now, how close and connected do you feel to your spouse? Because we all crave that. If the numbers are low, I guarantee you, one, two, or all three of those areas of intimacy are not being attended to. They're not being a priority. Some of us prioritize some of those above others all the time, and that's not a healthy marriage. Some even neglect one or three of the three of those altogether, and that's not God's design for oneness.
A healthy relationship can't be one-sided because both are needed. Both are essential, right, in order to achieve this oneness, to weave together. So let me illustrate it this way. On a football team, you've got 11 players out there. If somebody doesn't block, if somebody doesn't run the right route, chances are that play might still be successful because you got a bunch of guys out there to cover for you. You could possibly still win the game. Well, what about basketball? You got five guys, right? You got five guys out there. If somebody doesn't rebound, somebody doesn't play that good at defense, chances are you can still score. You can still win the game because you got four other guys that are helping compensate for you, right? What about beach volleyball? Well, now you're down to two. And if somebody doesn't do the digging, somebody doesn't do the setting, somebody doesn't spike the ball, if somebody just watches the ball hit the sand, that's not a winning strategy. Both of you are essential. And it's the same in this scenario as husband and wife. Both of us are essential. One of us can't be dropping the ball.
We know with this many people in the room, with this many people online, that there are definitely some of you sitting here saying, but I am the only one pouring into this relationship. The truth is, I feel like I'm the only one who even cares if we feel close to each other. And I know that I can only speak from times in our relationship where I have felt that way and the things that God taught me. He taught me that, Christy, you are the one who stood before me and vowed to make a covenant with me. And it's your responsibility to always fulfill your end of the covenant with me. You're still responsible that in front of me in the sense of accountability and being the audience of one. And you don't give, you don't get the right to withhold love from Mark just because he's not giving it. You don't get to treat him poorly just because he's treating you poorly. You don't get to use his lack of effort as your excuse. Now, trust me, those are not easy truths to wrestle with, but those are some of the wrestling matches God and I have had and where I've landed during those times in our relationship. And it is an extremely lonely place to be, and we don't trivialize that in any way, shape, or form. But I do want to encourage you, it is a time when you learn that God is El Roy, the God who sees. When I chose to give love or obey God and he didn't even receive it and nobody in the world saw it, but I still chose to do that, God says, I see. Christy, I see. I see you. I see your tears. I see everything. And that strengthened me. And that gave me the resolve to hit my knees and to keep praying and then to watch God work. Please, if you're in this place, have a conversation with your spouse. be on your knees praying, and please go to another couple, go to the pastoral staff, or go to counseling. When you're at this point ready to give up, I promise you God is ready and waiting to intervene.
After pursuing God and asking yourself, well, is this my relationship with God, is it growing the most? Well, then comes next in line. And my friend Louise Rivera always says, pursue your number two. Chrissy knows that she's number two. She would be devastated if I told her she was number one in my life, because she wants God to be number one in my life just as much as I do. And I've shared that with my kids. The greatest security you can give your children is being crazy in love with their mother. Our kids notice, they watch, they see, and they are using you as an example of the mate that they choose down the road. I've told our kids, you will never come between your mother and I. Don't even try. There's no room for you in there. Learn your place in the hierarchy, because you're number three, right? When our kids were being disrespectful to Christy, I'd tell them, you're not going to talk to my wife that way. Because they have to understand the relationship of how important it is that Christy is my soulmate. Christy is the one that I've given my soul to, that I've given my heart to. And I've done that with my children as well, and to God as well. But in this hierarchy, it's always God first, Christy next, then all others. At the end of the day, those photo albums that are in that, out on that coffee table that people will look through should reflect God first, spouse second, and then all others. We've looked at God's design for oneness. We've looked at the hierarchy to achieve oneness. Now we're going to look at some one another's. And these are commands that promote strength and oneness. This is something that we can't do in our own strength, right? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. I've tried to do it on my own. It's ugly. And the blessing of being a Christ follower is that we have this power living within us. Last week, Kevin challenged us that we need these friendships that make us more committed followers of Jesus Christ. Well, today we're challenging you, saying you need marriages that intentionally make us more committed followers of Jesus. Christy and I just chose four. There's a bunch of them, but Christy chose four of the one another's that we just like to touch on this morning. And the first one is being devoted to one another in love. Romans 12:10 says, being devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference in honor to one another in honor. I have a contractor that I work for. His name is Brendan, and I've worked for Brendan for a long time. And he's been married about 13, 14 years now. And I've been I've been viewing this journey with him and his wife from afar. A couple years after they got married, his wife Molly came down with frontotemporal dementia. And just this week, I was talking with Brendan, and I said, well, buddy, how's it going? And he said to me, in sickness and in health, for better and for worse. He goes, I had to put Molly in a home today. She doesn't know me. And he goes, I go there every afternoon and spend time with her. She can't feed herself and stuff. And I just told him, I said, would you have ever believed that day when you stood before God and all others and made those vows? You were thinking about the better and you're thinking about the health. He goes, absolutely. He goes, I wasn't thinking of the worse and the sickness. But he goes, Mark, I made a commitment, and I'm devoted to Molly to see this through. I'm just like, holy smokes, dude. And a lot of us will never understand that kind of devotion or that kind of scenario that has that kind of devotion in it. But if we're going to be married for a longer period of time, or if you want to stay married for a longer period of time, you've got to figure out what devotion looks like to you with your spouse and with your mate. And we've got some simple things. One of them is there's four contact points throughout your day on showing devotion to your spouse. When you wake up, when you say goodbye, when you reconnect, and when you say goodnight. Now, I get up way earlier than my wife does, but Christy has told me, I don't care if I'm sleeping, whatever, when you leave me, always kiss me goodbye. I need to know that you kissed me goodbye before you left. A lot of you do say goodbye in the mornings. How do you leave the home when both of you are leaving for work? Is it absolute chaos? Or do each one of you know that, you know what, we love each other, and I want to make sure that you know how much I love you when you leave the home. When you reconnect, Are the dogs more excited to see your spouse come home than you are? That could be a sign that there's not a whole lot of devotion there, right? And then good night. I go to bed usually before Christy does, but Christy will always come to bed with me, and we'll pray together, and then she'll get back up and go do whatever she does. But to me, it screams devotion to me when she does those kind of things. Another aspect of devotion is learning each other's love language. And some of you have probably never heard that before. That's finding out what turns her crank. What is it about Christy that I can do that speaks volumes to her that says, he knows me. He knows exactly where I'm at. And Christy's told me, my love languages are words of affirmation and physical touch. But Christy's are on a revolving scale. She changes them. So you got to be sort of attentive and check in from time to time to make sure you're not. And just the other day, as we were starting to prepare for this message, I said, love languages. We're still talking about words of affirmation and physical touch, right? And she goes, well, I'm thinking one of mine is changing. I think time is taking place of words of affirmation. And I was like, whew, thank God it wasn't replacing physical touch. Because we didn't want to change. Let's not change that one at all. Let's leave it where it's at, right?
And another commandment. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another out of Colossians 3:13. Bearing is talking about our quirks and our oddities. Forgiving, though, is talking about the hurt and the pain and the sin. To bear with means to put up with. It's the opposite of short-tempered. It's actually long-tempered. And I love word pictures. And if you dig into the Greek, it means giving latitude to each other. You know, the lines of our globe, longitude and latitude, are fixed. It's a fixed coordinate system. And this is what can damage our marriage relationships. We get fixed on what we think is normal. And so anytime our spouse does something outside of normal, it grates on our nerves. It becomes a pet peeve. The problem is we define normal by our own behavior. And if we're going to live together, God says you need to give latitude. In other words, move the latitude line, Christy. Give Mark more space to just be Mark. That's going to create harmony. And then he goes on to talking about forgiving one another, the greatest act of grace we can give. And we could do a whole message just on this, but let's start with just by making it clear what forgiveness is not.
Forgiveness is not dismissing the pain or pretending that it didn't hurt. It's not acting as if nothing happened. It's not erasing the past. Let's just forget about it. There is no history. It is not conceding that the offender got away with it. But there's also these points that forgiveness is, and it's important to realize that it's an obedience to God's command. God commands us to forgive one another. It's a voluntary choice. I choose to forgive so that we can become one. It's letting go of that resentment and that revenge and giving it to God. He's got huge shoulders. He can take it. And it's the beginning of healing. I'm telling you, in 34 years of marriage, there has been a lot of forgiveness asked for and granted in our relationship.
And something that we use to help us determine, because we can forgive each other quickly and not hold it over each other's heads, but processing that pain takes time. That doesn't just happen like that. So I'm just going to give you a checklist. This will help you determine whether you honestly have forgiven and processed the pain. The first thing you need to be able to check off is you are able to say what specifically you are specifically forgiving them for. It's so healthy for you to determine what was it that caused you the pain and why. Secondly, you will not define your spouse by the hurt he or she caused or manipulate him or her with it. Now, if this doesn't tell you you need the Holy Spirit, I don't know what does. Because I want to bring the past up and I want to use other mistakes to prove my case in something against Mark. But I'm not going to do that anymore. That means it truly has been processed. And thirdly, you do not need to instantly trust your spouse in this area. Mark and I always want to bring this up. Because when someone has broken trust, it is the offender's responsibility to rebuild trust. And you need to allow them to rebuild them. Don't come in and try to make, sweep it away. It's something they need to do. That's part of their healing and building character. And when it comes to rebuilding trust, words don't matter. Only behavior does. Behavior is what builds trust. And then lastly, you choose to continue to grow regardless. You don't allow your spouse to be a reason for not growing. Can you see how this produces oneness in marriage?
The third one is we're commanded to pray for one another. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Praying for one another and praying with one another is hugely underestimated in the marriage relationship. Praying for. Every day I get a message from Christy, and it's a list of the verses that she's reading and how she's praying for me through those verses for the day. And I can have a pretty cruddy day. It can be going pretty haywire. And I'll get that, and I'll read that, and I'll look at that. And to know that my wife is praying for me specifically that day is huge. I use my morning drive time. I turn the radio off. I spend my morning driving time, whether it's 20 minutes to the job or maybe it's an hour and a half to the job, of praying for my wife, praying for my family. That's my dedicated time to pray for. But then there's praying with, and that's been a difference maker in our marriage. It's committed to the habit. What we do is we committed to the habit of holding hands before we go to bed and praying together. It builds spiritual intimacy. I challenge the men in our small group, just try it, guys. Grab your wife's hand and pray with them as you go to sleep at night or whenever. Because physical intimacy seems to be the easiest for most of us guys, the physical intimacy. The emotional intimacy starts getting a little harder. I don't want to put myself out there, you know, and seem like I'm a pretty weak kitten, right? So the emotional intimacy doesn't come very easy either. But then there's that spiritual intimacy, and that's just a battle. And you want to know why it's a battle? Because Satan knows it's a battle. And if he can derail you in your spiritual intimacy, it's a small step to derail you in your emotional intimacy and in your physical intimacy.
And the last one we want to just remind you of is serving one another. Galatians 5:13, you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. What a privilege that I can every day minister to my husband. I have the opportunity to minister. It's the opposite of tit for tat. We have cousins who in their marriage, everything was so tit for tat that even when it came to changing diapers of the babies, nobody ever changed two in a row because it had to go back and forth. It's the opposite of a sense of entitlement. It's the example of Jesus Christ. And when I serve Mark, I serve Jesus. And when Mark chooses to put me in front of his own interest, when he chooses to sacrifice in some way to serve me, I am so humbled. And I am so drawn to him. So let's not just serve each other, but let's faithfully serve each other. God has a design for oneness. Why are we motivated to fight for this oneness? Because we're stronger together. What are some practical ways we can keep weaving this oneness into our lives? By being obedient to the one another commands in Scripture.
We've got some homework for you here this morning. If you're not married, we just ask you to choose one of those one another's that you heard and do some research and figure out what some of the other ones are that you need to work on within your High Point family. If you are married, you should have got one of these. It should be sitting on next to you there on your chair. So if you're married, choose one item. You got day, week, month, and year. Choose one item from each one, okay, and agree on from this list how you're going to work it through. Also, determine which area of intimacy is the weakest in your marriage, physical, emotional, spiritual, right? And create a first step of action towards strengthening that. And if you have any questions about marriage, today's message, what it means to follow Christ, put those on the back of your Connect cards. Shoot, come talk to Christy and I, talk to any of the staff. We'd be glad to walk alongside somebody and share with you the hurts and the hurdles and the joys and the victories that Christy and I have had over the years.
We want to give you a moment for the most important conversation with the Holy Spirit. What has He been talking to you specifically about? What resonated with you? What stood out to you? And really take that to Him in prayer and how He wants to weave that into your life.